Chapter 3.
"What the?"
one of the men gasped as we plowed into the cave. I swung my sword around and cut off his question and his head in one fell swoop. The man's head tumbled to the ground, and blood spurted from his neck and bathed his fellow guards in crimson gore.
"Shit!"
the other one cried out, and blocked my next strike with the handle of his axe. The dryads descended on Bard, and Nike and Nokomis took on the man with the bladed spear, while I kept Aliona close to my side. Lyca headed for the guard who brandished his broadsword, and I grinned at the look of confidence on his face. If he thought he had a chance against the wolf demihuman, he was even dumber than Bard. My opponent shoved my sword back and swung at my chest with his axe, but I dipped back to avoid the blow, spun around, and jabbed his head with the hilt of my blade. The guard stumbled to the side, and I thought he would save me a fight by falling off the edge, but he regained his balance just in time and charged toward me. I blocked his axe easily with my sword and conjured a fiery dagger in my other hand. Then I shoved it into his belly, and the stench of burning flesh filled my nose as he let out a wild scream. So much for being silent. The guard flailed as the flames from my dagger raged over his robes, and he ripped them off in an attempt to save himself. But fire wasn't the only thing I had planned. I called on my stone magic, and the shiny emerald stones on the walls began to tremble before three of them shot out toward the guard. He ducked the first stone, but the second one crashed into his ribs, and they cracked like eggshells as he flew across the cave.
"Please,"
he begged, as the third crystal skittered across the ground and slammed into his leg.
"No!"
His broken bones poked out of his skin, and I towered over him with a maniacal smile.
"You fucked with the dragons," I said in a low voice, "and now you pay."
I lifted the sword of Hatra over my head and brought it down with all my strength. The blade penetrated his chest and plunged into the man's heart, and he sucked in one last breath before his eyes rolled back in his head. One down, four to go. I turned around and saw the dryads had Bard pinned up against the wall as they pummeled him with their bare fists. But as I turned to check on Lyca, I felt a blow to the gut that knocked the wind out of me. Her opponent had decided to run from his losing battle, and he'd stumbled into my path instead. I grabbed his arm as he tried to shove his way past me, and he swung wildly with his broadsword. I blocked it with my scaled forearm, and his eyes widened in fear when my impenetrable scales stopped the blade.
"What are you?" he breathed.
"I'm a fucking dragon," I thundered.
Then I grabbed him by the throat and threw him against the stone wall as his sword went flying into the shadows of the cave. He slid to the ground with a groan of pain and rubbed the back of his head. Blood dribbled over his fingers as he brought his hand back to his face, and I marched over to stand in front of him.
"Please, I didn't mean—"
the man stuttered, and he looked up at me as the color drained from his face.
"You didn't mean to torture my brothers?"
I growled as I took a menacing step closer.
"You didn't mean to force them to steal for you and your beloved Kosin?"
"Oh, I didn't think—"
he tried again.
"No, you didn't," I cut him off. "But don't worry. You only have to think one more time. Where are the dragons?"
"Beyond the shadows,"
he answered without hesitation.
"Please, I'll tell you whatever you want to know. Just let me live."
"I'd rather not," I snarled.
Then I opened my mouth and released a plume of fire, and I was pleasantly surprised when my lava magic activated with it. Lava and fire poured onto the guard, and he wailed in pain for only a few seconds before he was consumed by my magic.
"Good riddance,"
Aliona muttered next to me and rubbed her belly. "Two more," I said, as I turned around and saw the dryads toss Bard over the edge of the cliff. "Make that one." His screams echoed among the rock formations until they were cut off by the thud of his landing. The trio turned back around to grin at me, and I searched for the rest of the group. Nike had just pulled Laika to her feet, but Nokomis stood on her own a few feet away with a look of frustration that twisted her mouth into a scowl.
"He's gone,"
she grunted. "The guy with the spear?" I asked.
"Yes, he hit me with it and took off,"
Laika replied and furrowed her brow.
"I shouldn't have been caught off guard." "It's not your fault,"
Nokomis assured her.
"I should have stayed with him. You were helping us with the stupid one,"
Polina cut in.
"We didn't know he had another knife."
"Okay, but where did he go?" I demanded.
"I think he went that way,"
Nokomis pointed toward the shadows.
"He disappeared in there."
"He could be going to warn the others," Nike said with a frown. "We need to move quickly."
"Wait, what is that?"
I hissed, and held up my hand to silence my group.
"Help!"
The voice was just above a whisper, and followed by a groan of pain and the clinking of metal.
"Hurry!" I yelled as I tore into the darkness.
Nokomis and Laika kept pace with me, and I realized we were the ones who could see the best in the dark. The cave was larger than we'd thought, and it felt like we had to run a mile before I finally caught the glimmer of pale yellow scales. I flicked a fireball into my palm, and the cave was illuminated by my fire.
"Oh my gods,"
Nokomis gasped and covered her mouth. 7 dragons were chained to the ground. The yellow-scaled dragon could barely turn his head to look at me, but he sighed with relief as he recognized a fellow dragon. He laid his head on the stone floor with another groan, and I stepped closer to examine my brothers. Hundreds of lash marks had broken through the skin on their underbellies, and most of them had blood pooled underneath their bodies. Scales were broken or burned. Wings were torn and bloody, and 2 of the dragon's spikes had been broken from their backs. I didn't know if I was more heartbroken or enraged at their treatment, and I swallowed the lump in my throat as I reached toward the closest one.
"I can heal you, my brother," I said in a low voice. "Just breathe."
He opened 1 large eye to watch me, and I placed a gentle hand on his back as I let my healing power flow. I felt my magic pour into him like water into a cup, and his body healed, his strength returned. He blinked a few times as he slowly rose to his feet, and then he shook his healed body with a look of disbelief.
You really healed me," he said in a voice filled with awe. "But you're a dragon."
"With healing magic," I agreed. "And I'll answer more of your questions soon, but we have to get you guys out of here first."
I moved on to the next dragon as my people began to examine the iron chains that encircled the captive's legs. The restraints were several inches thick, but I knew the Kosan and his bastards wouldn't be able to hold down a dragon with only those. Mikhail and Angelos had told us the chains were magically powered, so we'd have to find a way to get them off before we could free the dragons. With every dragon I healed, I sensed the heartbreak ease and the anger bubble up in my chest. They'd been put through hell, and it was all because the Kosan wanted treasure. It made me want to throw up and demolish him all at the same time.
"Thank you,"
a dragon with bright purple scales said as she batted her eyes at me.
"We're forever grateful you've come."
"You're welcome," I replied and rubbed her snout. As soon as Mikhail and Angelos reached me, I knew I had to come help you.
"They made it?"
Another dragon lifted his head and cocked it to the side.
"Then you are Lord Heaven."
"Yeah, that's me," I said with a smile. "They arrived last night, and I came first thing. They're safe in Hatra, which is where we'll be taking you as well. My dragon mate is there, and you'll be safe inside our walls."
"Did you really kill the sage?"
a blue-scaled dragon asked. "Well, my mate did once I brought him to her," I answered as I held up the Sword of Healing. "With my blade, the sage killed her family, so I wanted her to have her revenge."
"You are a good mate,"
the yellow dragon rumbled.
"I don't know if I could have resisted killing him if I got him in my grasp."
"I still can't believe the brothers made it to Otra," the blue dragon murmured. "Neither of them knew where it was. They've been here since they were younglings."
"That's awful."
Nokomis wiped a tear from her cheek.
"I can't believe someone would do this to you. It's horrible."
And we'll make him pay, I promised. For now, we need to get these chains off and get you to safety.
I don't recognize the enchantment on these,
Aliona said as she traced the designs carved into the metal.
Who did this magic?
The Kosin,
the purple dragon answered with a scowl.
The gods bragged about how the rotten bastard has more magic than anyone else, even the sage.
He's a mage? I asked, and furrowed my brow. No one has mentioned that before.
I don't think he's a mage, the orange dragon cut in. I think he's a sorcerer. I'm not sure, but that's what it seems like from what the guards say. He always has a totem, and he kills any of them who try to touch it.
Then it's different magic,
Aliona murmured.
I have an idea.
She wrapped both her hands around the iron cuff and began to recite a spell under her breath. The metal lit up under her palms, and I worried it would explode or burn her until she let out a sigh and released her grip. The cuff snapped in two pieces and fell to the floor with a clank.
Oh,
the yellow dragon breathed as he lifted his leg from the floor and flexed it.
By the gods, you're a miracle.
I'm just a priestess,
Aliona giggled. She moved as quickly as she could to free each of the dragons, one leg at a time, and then she stepped back to look over her work as the freed prisoners moved freely in the cave. You're amazing, I whispered into her ear and pressed my lips to her head.
Lord Evan, there's something else you should know, the blue dragon said, as he took a few steps closer and loomed over me.
What's that? I asked.
There's one other prisoner.
He motioned with his long foreleg further into the cave behind them.
He's back there, but we haven't seen him in a couple of days.
Who? I demanded, as I made my way deeper into the cave. My fireball lit the darkest of shadows, and I saw a man lying on the ground curled into the fetal position with his back to me. He didn't appear to be moving, and I wondered if he'd been punished as severely as the dragons. He wasn't a dragon, but I couldn't tell anything else about him until I got close enough to illuminate the small hollow where he was tucked away. His robes were in shambles and torn into shreds, but I recognized the blue stripes that rose over his bald head and came to a point at the base of his skull. His long body would stand well over 7 feet if he stood up, and it only confirmed what I thought already.
He's a Dracha, I breathed.
Is he alive?
The blue dragon filled in my question and lowered his head.
We can't be sure. He was punished just as severely as we were.
If not more so,
the purple dragon added, as tears of sadness welled up in her eyes.
He shouldn't have stood up for us the way he did.
So he was on your side? I asked, as my mind flitted over the memories of the last Dracha we'd encountered. He had been a member of the Green Glass Sect, and he'd willingly joined Olivier on his destructive mission because he was tired of living in the confines of his village. It had made my stomach twist with anger, and I'd been happy to remove him from our realm.
Oh, yes,
the purple dragon nodded vigorously.
He was captured in order for the Kosin and his men to communicate with us. I think they believed the Dracha had a power over us, but Rahil never tried to control us.
And I never would.
We all turned with a gasp as the Dracha unfolded himself and sat up.
You're the most magnificent creatures, Aninati. You didn't deserve the treatment you received here.
You're alive,
the blue dragon said as he lowered his head to meet the Dracha's gaze.
Are you all right?
A little bruised, and I think my leg may be broken, Rahil grunted.
I can fix all of that, I said, and kneeled down next to him. It should only take a minute. I blew a cloud of glittery healing magic over the Dracha, and he closed his eyes with relief as my power swept over him. The cuts on his face knitted together, and he flexed his freshly healed leg before he rose to his feet.
Thank you, he said with a nod to me. I know you are a dragon, though one with healing abilities is rather strange.
Yeah, I'm one of a kind, I chuckled. I am Lord Evan of Hatra, and these are my people. We're here to get you guys to safety, and we'll send you back to Hatra until we get this Kosin guy out of the picture.
We are most grateful.
Rahil bowed his head and looked over at the dragons.
You've already healed them?
Yes, I confirmed. Now we have a few things to do here before we return to Hatra, but my people there are expecting you. Well, to be honest, they're expecting all of us. But tell the guards I sent you to ask for Ruslan. He'll know what to do until we get back.
And what should we tell this Ruslan is keeping you from returning to us?
Rahil wondered with a faint smile on his thin lips. Tell him we need to take care of the problem now, I said.
Is the Kosin and his treasure hunting the problem? The Draka pressed.
He is, I nodded and furrowed my brow. He needs to hunt for treasure without killing people for it.
He believes the magical treasures he hunts are worth killing for, Rahil explained. He isn't simply getting rich, Lord Evan. He's increasing his power.
How do you know that?
Aliona asked.
I have taken note of the specific items he wants the dragons to steal, or at least make sure they don't destroy, he replied. They are all of a magical nature, though I'm not familiar enough with them to understand what all of the objects could do together.
What are some of the items?
My wife prodded him.
Names? What do they look like? Anything?
Reynold's Mira, Rahil said as he ticked off the names on his fingers. Cup of Natura, a necklace from Morgard, and several weapons and such. I can't remember everything, but I grasp the theme.
Those are all magical objects for sure,
Aliona murmured.
And they can be used to gain power for a sorcerer. He must be stopped.
And that's what we'll do, I said. We need to go talk to Mael, and we need to get the dragons and Rahil out of here. Are you all well enough to fly now? The dragons nodded their confirmation, and I turned to Rahil.
If one of them doesn't mind a passenger, I am quite up to the trip, he said with a smile. I know you are in a rush, my lord, but I must ask, have we met before?
That would be quite impossible, I assure you, I chuckled.
You look incredibly familiar, Rahil mused and then shook his head. I'm sure I'll think of it.
We can talk again in Hatra, I agreed. Does at least one of you know how to get there?
I do,
the yellow one said.
I can lead the others.
All right, then we need to get moving before the guard warns the Kosin, I said. Let's go. We raced to the mouth of the cave, and I felt a desperate desire to take my dragon form and fly with my brothers and sister. I dreamed of such a flight since I'd found out more of our kind existed, but now wasn't the time. They'd be in Hatra, and we could fly together soon enough. Right now, I had a sorcerer to kill.
Lord Evan, I want to stay, the orange dragon declared, as the rest of the dragons prepared to take off. Since you healed us, I feel strong enough to fight.
You need to get to safety, I insisted. We can handle the Kosin.
With all due respect, my lord, you don't know what to look for.
The orange dragon shook his head and cleared his throat.
I've been the Kosin's captive for many years, and I know how they operate. He keeps a small number of men, but they have magic and evil on their side. I can help you.
I met the dragon's gaze and considered his insistent offer. He wanted to help, and he had knowledge of the Kosin the rest of us didn't. It couldn't hurt to have someone with us who knew more about the Kosin and his men. All right, I finally agreed. But you'll have to shift to your human form to go talk to the Tunglians. And it would be nice to know the name of the person fighting with us.
Of course, he chuckled. My name is Theo. I'll be happy to fight by your side, my lord. I want the Kosin to understand the pain and suffering he has caused.
Then he will, I agreed. And it won't take long. Rahil gave me one last look as though he still wondered why I seemed familiar, before he climbed on the purple dragon's back. Then the dragons took off into the late morning sky, and Theo shifted into his human form next to us. His brown hair was long, almost to the middle of his back, and he wrapped a piece of leather around it to keep it behind his shoulders as he watched the dragons fly away with watery green eyes.
"Kind of wish I'd gone flying now," he said with a wistful smile. "It's been a long time since I was able to fly where I wanted to."
We'll fly together soon, my friend, I promised. Let's get this scum off the face of our planet now. Theo nodded his agreement, and he set his face with determination as we began the descent down the stone steps.
My lord, I know you want to handle this problem immediately, but do you think we should wait for the Blue Tree Guild to join us?
Lyca asked with a frown.
My men are ready to join us as soon as you ask.
I know, and I appreciate that, I said. But we can't wait. As soon as that guard tells the Kosan we were here, we don't know what he'll do, especially once he realizes his prisoners are gone.
He would go to the ends of Inati to find out where they went, Theo added. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to Hatra for them.
We can't put all our people in danger, I muttered. He must be dealt with now.
Wait, so why are we going to talk to Mael? Nike asked and furrowed his brow. I thought he planned to honor the boundary.
I think that was his original plan, I agreed. I don't know if he wants to continue that plan now, since he knows the full story. If we can get them on our side, the Kosan has no chance of getting away.
Good, Theo growled.
I couldn't imagine the fury he reserved for the Kosan. I had plenty of my own, knowing how this sorcerer had treated my fellow dragons. But to be one of those dragons was a whole other story. I'd be beyond furious. We stalked down the steps and hurried through the rock formations to return to the forest. There was no need for camouflage this time. The Kosan most likely already knew, or was about to know, we were here. So the best option now was to get out of the open space of the tall caves and under the trees. We made it to the tree line and beneath the foliage much faster without the blanket over our heads. And I was surprised to see another wolf crouched at the boundary line. This one was only about 3/4 of Mael's size with dark brown fur over his back and a white patch of fur on his chest. He narrowed his yellow eyes on us and bared his teeth as he released a low growl. Okay, hold on, I said as I held my hands up. We need to see Mael. I'm a fellow noble of the sword, and he said we'd always be welcomed by the Runcipak. The wolf immediately closed his lips over his teeth and bowed until his snout nearly touched the ground. Then he let out a low bark, turned around, and began to trot through the forest. I guessed he meant for us to follow him, and I motioned for the rest of my group to run after him too. We jogged through the forest behind him, but it didn't take long to reach his destination. Mael and two other Tunglians stood in human form in a clearing about 30 yards beyond the boundary, and they looked up as soon as the brown wolf led us to them.
Ah, Lord Evan, Mael said with a wide smile. You've returned quite quickly, and you have a new friend.
Yes, this is Theo, I introduced my fellow dragon. He's one of the captives we rescued from the Kosan's cave.
I'm sorry to hear your troubles, Theo, the Tunglian said as he gripped Theo's forearm. I had no idea what all the Kosan was up to.
Mael is the alpha of the Runcipak of Tunglians, I explained to Theo, before I turned back to the wolfman. We rescued Theo and 7 others today, and that's after at least 2 escaped. I had to heal them before they could even stand.
Heal them from what?
Mael's eyes widened in surprise.
Torture, Theo said. Whips, chains, arrows, staves. Whatever the Kosan men could get their hands on, they used against us. Disgusting, one of the other Tunglians spat out. Why? Because he was furious about the 2 who escaped, Theo said with a shrug. He thought we helped them.
Are you still okay with the agreement? I asked Mael and arched a curious eyebrow.
I'm becoming more disgusted by it every second, the Alpha grunted. I have to believe my father didn't know what all the Kosan was doing. We've never supported such inhumane treatment of other creatures.
Does this mean you'll support our efforts to rid Afur of this evil? I pressed.
You could have all your territory back, including the Yasel Stone Caves. We could use the caves, the other Tunglian murmured to his alpha. I know we could, Mael snapped, and the other wolf seemed to shrink down for a moment. Then the alpha turned back to me. I don't like to drag my men into war,
but I can't imagine the Kosin will be happy to hear his prisoners have been rescued, and I don't want the Runsa Pack to become his new targets for kidnapping.
Then you'll help? I couldn't keep the hope out of my voice. I didn't think we needed the Tunglians to defeat the Kosin, but I wanted Mael to see that I only wanted to help people. If he realized I only had the good of other people in mind, maybe it wouldn't be too difficult to get him on board with the Redeemi Vincio, especially since I wasn't sure what member of his bloodline I'd need for the ceremony just yet. Mael ran his fingers through his hair and let out a deep sigh before he turned to the brown wolf who waited next to the other members of his pack.
"Gather the warriors," he commanded.
The brown wolf howled almost immediately, and before I could ask if that was the sign to gather, I heard the thunderous sounds of animals trampling through the forest. Within a minute, 10 more large wolves had joined us in the clearing, and 10 minutes later, 40 wolves filled the area and stared at their alpha without moving a muscle.
"Wow,"
Nokomis breathed.
"They're beautiful,"
Polina said under her breath.
"And fearsome warriors," Mael declared with a proud smile. "And today, they're ready to take on our enemy with honor and ferocity. The Kosin has loomed over us for far too long, and now we've found he has been causing even more pain than we ever imagined. It ends today."
Most of the wolves howled with excitement, but two of them shifted into their human forms to voice their concerns. I noticed they had the same star branded onto their chests as they stood before us in their naked human forms.
"Alpha, what about his magic?" one of the men asked. "It's long been suspected this is the reason your father agreed to the boundary."
"We can help win in the magical category," I assured him. "We have plenty of power among us."
"Because you're a noble of the sword?" he wondered, as he eyed the blade on my belt. "He has power from many sources."
"As do we," I chuckled. "Don't worry about the magic."
"We must," the other one insisted. "It's the only thing he has that none of us do. While we've been trained to fight with the skills we have, it's easy to lose a match against someone with great magical abilities."
"What if we could protect you from his magic?"
Aliona asked suddenly.
"You are creatures of nature, correct?"
"We are," Mael confirmed and focused on her with interest. "How does that help us?"
"We could combine nature magic with the noble sword defenses,"
Trina said and clapped her hands excitedly.
"Oh, m'lady, that's brilliant!"
"It is,"
Mariah agreed.
"Tell her I'll channel the power through you for the Sword of Healing."
Mariah is all in on your plan," I said as I glanced at my wife. "And she said she'll channel the power through me."
"Splendid,"
Aliona replied with a grin.
"It may take some time to get it right, but if we can do it, we can use the powers together to defend you as creatures of nature. Then the Kosin will be quite limited on what he can use against you."
"All right, does that answer your question?"
Mael looked at the two doubters with a smirk.
"Yes, Alpha,"
they replied in unison.
"Then we'll gather food for everyone and eat," the Tunglian Alpha continued. "Once the spell is complete, we attack."
More howls erupted in the clearing, and I wondered if the Kosin would be drawn in by the sound, but I pushed the thought away. Even if he decided to attack before we did, the magical defense was already in the works, and we had plenty of people to take him and his thieves out for good. The wolves dispersed into the woods, and Mael motioned for us to follow him toward another section of the forest. It already had a fire pit and logs arranged for seating around the fire, so we sat down and discussed a plan of attack while Aliona and the dryads worked on their magic. "Do you know where the other hideout is?" I asked Theo.
"No."
He shook his head and pursed his lips.
"We were only allowed out of the cave to do his bidding. If we ventured even a little off course, the punishment was harsh."
"I saw a set of boot prints leading away from the cave where we found you," I said. "They led east toward more of the Yassel stone caves."
"Those caves extend for another 2 miles," Mael pointed out. "That's a lot of ground to cover."
"It is," I agreed. "I don't know if we'll be able to do it efficiently and prepare to attack in enough time." We mulled it over as the other Tunglians returned with various forest creatures, and the wolves began to roast the meat over the fire pit. The smell of fresh meat filled the clearing, and it didn't take long for the other warrior wolves to make their way over to eat. Some of the pack had gathered fruits from around the forest, and we tore into the meat and fruits with vigor. It was delicious, and I felt a sense of camaraderie as we shared a natural meal with the Tunglians in their home. It made me feel like this was how everyone should live, though I was still curious about what made them avoid other people.
"If they get their magic to work, do you think we could search from the air and send the pack in after us?"
Theo suggested after a while.
"That's not a bad idea," I murmured. "We should be able to see where they're hiding if they're using the same kind of cave."
"So, you're both dragons," Mael said as he chuckled and shook his head. "I couldn't believe it when I smelled you earlier. But it makes sense with the flying and magic and such."
"Yeah, I can do a few things," I smirked. "If we fly."
"Alpha!"
I was cut off by an alarmed voice, and we all turned to see a Tunglian stumble into the clearing and stop to catch his breath.
"Alpha! You must come quickly!"
"What is it, Dom?"
Mael asked as he rose to his feet and strode toward the other man.
"A group of the Kosin's men are making their way down from the caves toward the border,"
he explained between gasps for air.
"It's hard to say how many of them."
"Did they see you?"
the Alpha asked.
"No. I stayed hidden. But..."
"Then they don't know we know they're coming."
Mael cut him off and looked at me.
"But they also don't know where to go. The forest is large, and they don't come across the boundary."
"That guard must have already told them and gotten them ready to go," I muttered.
"No need to find them if they're coming to find us, but we need to have a plan on how to stop them."
"How do we do that without the defense magic?"
Mael asked as he glanced over at Aliona and the Dryads, who had a ball of glowing green magic hovering between them.
"How much time do they need?"
"If that magical orb is any indication, I'd say not much," I said, and jogged over to them. "The Kosin men are on their way. How's the spell coming along?"
"I just need..."
Aliona trailed off as she took my hand and guided it toward the orb. As soon as my fingers touched the surface, a bright white glow took over the green, and I was nearly blinded by the light that shot out in every direction. My body felt frozen in place as Mariah channeled magic out through me, and Aliona chanted some words I couldn't hear over the ringing in my ears. Then it stopped. The orb now looked oddly like Earth from space, with white, blue, and green swirls covering its surface. And Aliona grabbed it from the air and led us back to where the pack waited with apprehensive looks on their faces.
"That's the spell?"
Mael asked as his mouth twisted with doubt.
"She's the best," Nike assured him.
"And I have confidence it will help you,"
Aliona added with a smile.
"I just need all your warriors to come over here and I'll activate it. On my cue, Lord Evan, I'll need a little of your magic as well."
Mael nodded, and the rest of the Tunglians trickled back into the clearing as Aliona and the Dryad stood beneath the orb and looked around. Once the wolves were settled, the real magic began.
"Grant protection,"
Polina murmured.
"Water."
The blue swirls lit up, as though she'd flicked on the light.
"Land,"
Trina said. The green swirls were the next to illuminate.
"Air,"
Marina intoned. Then the white swirls glowed, and Aliona looked at me.
"Fire,"
she said. I grinned before I opened my mouth and blew a thin stream of flames onto the orb. And the fire danced across the surface until the magical ball exploded. A rainbow of colors filled the air and fluttered down onto the Tunglians, who watched with mystified open mouths.
"That was incredible," Mael breathed. "Did it work?"
"We can't test it ourselves,"
Aliona replied.
"Our magic is natural, which is why nature is willing to let us protect you from the unnatural. The Kosin isn't a mage, or a naturally magical being, so nature sees him as an abomination."
"The Green Mother would like to watch him rot like an old apple,"
Marina chimed in with a malicious smile. "And we'll help her get that opportunity," I said. "For now, we need to figure out a way to stop them from barreling in here and attacking all of us. We have the element of surprise, but what's the best way to use it?"
I have an idea, my lord,
Nokomis said in a low voice.
It's worked for us before.
What's that? I asked.
I'll help the Tunglians set up a trap,
she replied, as she narrowed her dark eyes.
The bastards won't even know what hit them.